Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we will focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Ampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire.
Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 5, and today we're going to share some smart habits for reading more when you're not working. I think this is a goal a lot of us word people tend to have. At least I do. What about you, Veronica?
Oh, yes. And I'm so excited we're recording this episode. I used to be an avid reader before I had kids, and I would read whenever I had a chance. Coincidentally, this was before like video streaming became popular and before we moved to Texas. And I am certain that these factors contributed to me reading less, just as much as the fact that, you know, having kids means you're busy all the time. When I lived in Russia and Norway, I didn't own a car. So the car I own now, living in Houston, is my first car that I own. So I used public transportation every day, and that meant I had at least 40 minutes a day to read a book on the bus or on the train. And living in Texas now, I have to use my car to go everywhere, so I just have less time to read. On the upside, I have a lot more time to listen to podcasts and audiobooks, but I do love reading actual books, and it's my current goal to read more, at least 30 minutes to an hour every day.
Yeah. That's interesting because here in the United States, for anybody listening, I know that a lot of us, if you're not in a big metropolitan area where you have a commute, and of course, if you're a translator, your commute might just be from, you know, the kitchen to your office or something. But it's true that on public transportation, there really is a great opportunity to read. And I love when I travel and I get to see people in their elements and so many people reading. It's really nice. My family's from Spain, so they have something in Spain called el libro de bolsillo, which is like sort of like pocketbook, right? A pocket-sized book. But usually they're a little larger, but they're small enough that you can just toss them in your bag and stuff and go and read. So that's something I miss, especially when I was in Spain studying there. So yeah, that's true. That is a perfect time. And I always tell myself that I'm going to, you know, take my my Kindle with me, which is the digital reader, right? I can digitally download books onto it and take it with me so that if I'm waiting somewhere, like in the post office or doctor's office or something, which doesn't happen often, but, you know, that I'll take it out and read. And the thing is, I don't. I'll look at my phone instead. I'll look at emails or, you know, and I feel like you're right. The technology that has changed so much in the past several years has really changed the way we consume literature, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. So
yeah, but I also think that the fact that we're freelancers, we are just much less forgiving and way more demanding to ourselves than like when I was an employee of a company and knew that when I'm back home at say 5 p.m., this is my time off and I can just do whatever I want, right? And now I'm constantly thinking, oh, you know, these are the things I need to do next. I need to send an email. I need to do this and that. And I, it's funny because when my kids want me to read, when I'm off work, I just jump at any opportunity and I love reading to them. But when I like ask myself that question, oh, should I read a book now? I'm almost like, I come up with 10 other things I should be doing.
Yeah, I do the same thing. And it's funny that you mentioned reading to your kids. I want to talk about that a little bit later in this episode, but that's probably what they want to read. It's probably not what you want to read.
For sure,
you know? I mean, until they're a little bit older, I think when you can really get into like a good novel, you know, even though if it's a, like if it's a young adult or whatever novel with them would be fun. But I mean, my daughter is 2.5, almost 3, and she could read the same picture book literally 10 to 15 times in a row.
So
I think one of the first ways to build better habits about reading more when you're not working, that is, because we read a lot as translators, right? But to read more when you're not working is to consider what you want to get from the reading. So from doing this more, I should say. So maybe asking yourself, why do you want to read more? And the first thing that comes to my mind about not just the enjoyment of reading, because I'm like you, I was a more avid reader before, like you said, before kids, but also before technology changed things so much.
Mm-hmm.
But also I feel like we're just busier now than people. And maybe for older generations will laugh at this, but I feel like people just seem busier and more occupied with things now than before. And yeah. There's such an information overload, but it's like you said, when you want to sit down and read or you're thinking about reading, then you think of all these other things you should be doing. Or there are loads of other distractions now because of all of this. So I think, you know, the why behind it is really important, because if you look at it from a perspective of improving your skill, which is the way I think about it, then it's actually seems like you're doing it for work instead of just, you know, for pleasure and kicking your feet up, even though that is really nice to do and you should take time for yourself. I know that I feel guilty if I feel like I'm taking too much time, like, away from my commitments, which on some level, that's a personal issue. but it's true. If you think about it, you're doing this for work, in that sense, you know, to improve your skills as a writer, for example, because when you read more, you write better.
Yes.
That's just proven. And also for language purposes, you know, learning new terms and learning new ways of phrasing things and just keeping your mind really sharp.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes it a little bit easier to create a habit out of it. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It just gives you this extra permission to take the time you need to read because it's for work. I also think for me personally, I want to read more because of this nostalgia feeling, you know, pre-technology or what we have right now with the Netflix and all of that. I just miss that feeling of being immersed in a good book and, you know, coming out of it inspired and rested, and also just reading on my own terms, because I feel like nowadays if I'm reading and really interesting and maybe important even for my work, like an article online, as you said, there's so many distractions and there's all these pop-ups and ads and everything, and you just feel like, you know, almost being taken advantage of or whatever. Like, you're not just reading, you're reading, but they also like surround you with all of these other things,
advertising and
Yeah,
that's true. So I think if it's that habit of knowing why you want to do something, it can kind of help you to rule out some of those distractions a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And you could be reading, it doesn't even have to be a book. It could be articles online and such, but you're right. There's so many distractions there that you literally, I think, have to turn them off sometimes.
Right.
And then I think another good way to set a habit is to ask yourself another question, which is, what do you hope to get out of the content that you are reading or that you want to read? And for me, I think it depends on, like, I'll choose a certain piece of literature, whether it's fiction, nonfiction, whether it's short or long, depending on, well, usually one, like, kind of the mood that I'm in. Because sometimes, you know, you really want to, you know, you should read something that's kind of a heavier read, or it's going to, you have to concentrate more, but your mind may be exhausted after a long day of translating. So maybe choosing something lighter. So kind of, you know, understanding before you pick up something, why am I doing this and what do I want to get out of this? It's sort of like setting an intention in a way, which sounds maybe a little silly or woo-woo, I guess, to some people, but if you know already what you plan to get out of it, then you can choose very carefully what you're going to read in the short amount of time that you have.
Exactly. And also, like, get more selective when you buy or pick up books at the library, because I'm that person that I love reading book reviews, and I start making lists of all the books I want to get, like, buy or borrow in the at the library. But when I ask myself that question, why, like, what am I going to get out of it, and then, you know, that sets some clear criteria. Is it useful for my, like, better understanding of the certain professional field, or is it because I get a chance to, you know, practice grammar or writing in one of the working languages, or is it just for relaxation and, you know, inspiration or whatever? It just makes it easier to make that choice. Do I need that book or not?
Oh, interesting. So that for choosing books. Yeah, I have a long list of books going. I actually have, I tend to pick up too many books at once, and I always overestimate how quickly I can read something. And I'm not a very fast reader. I tend to take a lot of time. That's a good point. That's a very good point. So do you have some intentions that you set as well?
Yeah, I do. I feel it's easier nowadays. I didn't have to do that in the past, but nowadays with a busy life, I feel that it's easier for me to really make it a habit when I set intentions and almost visualize how, the process of readings. And I feel like it just helps create some positive reinforcement associated with like working on this habit. It's not just a chore or, and as we mentioned before, there's 10 other things you could have been doing instead. So I try to envision the process like I'm sitting in a comfortable chair by the window with a cup of tea and enjoying a really good book. And also the end result, like I feel rested and inspired. I have learned something new, or I can check my daily goal of reading off my list. Mm-hmm. And just creates some positive image in my head and makes it easier to build that daily habit and stay consistent.
Yeah, and that makes you happier too, I think, going about your day too, because you know that you've done something for yourself, but you've also done something for your mind. And essentially, as I was saying earlier, I think for our work, it's really important to read as translators, to read consistently, both in our area of specialization, but also, other things. So one thing that I try to make a habit of is choosing the type of book for the time of day. I like to read fiction and nonfiction, but I find that it's easier to read nonfiction in the evening when I'm already tired, because I don't have to commit as much mentally to the content. It's lighter, so it's not such a big deal if my mind wanders a bit or something, or I'm starting to get tired. Whereas if it's something that's, like a business book or something that I really need to absorb to learn, to study or something like that, I probably won't read that at night. That's just one of my little own personal habits there. So I guess the next question to ask yourself is, how much time can you feasibly dedicate to reading more? And you mentioned that you would like to read for about 30 minutes a day.
Yeah, 30 minutes to an hour, really. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you do on the weekends then? When it's
I feel like on a weekday, 30 minutes is realistic. But on weekends, I try to give myself at least an hour, if not more. Mm-hmm. I try to not work on weekends. And so when my children are napping or playing at quiet time, that's my time to just unwind and relax as well. And that's when I have a couple of hours to just do things for myself. So at least an hour out of that time I dedicate to reading on weekends.
That's excellent. Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. What about you?
That's great. No, I was just thinking about what I hear that other people do that I need to start adopting, because I have a very good friend. She lives in Germany and we went to college together. So it's very interesting. We keep in touch, and she was telling me the other day that she's started to get up early every day again, like earlier than usual. I think she gets up at 5 so that she can do certain things, to get her mind ready for the day and feel more like she's taking care of things that she wants to do even before she has to take care of things that everybody else needs her to do, like family and work and all of that. And so she's been reading for about 30 minutes a day, and I mean, that doesn't sound like very much, right? For some people, it sounds like a lot, I guess. But think about how that adds up. I mean, she told me about this. I feel like it was only 3 weeks ago, but she mentioned this past week that it was about 6 weeks ago. She's already read 3 books.
Wow.
And she said, I haven't read 3 full books in the past year.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so funny, because we let ourselves get so busy, and it sounds kind of crazy, but, depending on what you do or your life situation with family or with, maybe taking care of a loved one or something like that, you don't often have a lot of time. So I think that's really excellent. 30 minutes a day is a good goal. And I think it's something that is doable. I'm trying to see where I can fit it in. What I try to do in the morning early is read 1 to 2 news articles. And the languages that I work in. So I work in Spanish and Portuguese, and of course in English, but I'm used to reading a lot of English. So I try to at least get the ones finished that are in Spanish and Portuguese. Mm-hmm. So, but that's, you know, the news is not as much fun as the latest novel, yeah, right?
Right.
So my thought is to start trying to find some pockets of time to where I can get in some reading. And one thing that I find, and this kind of brings me to the next question that I was going to mention, is when can you make more time in your day to get in some extra reading time? Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned my friend does it at about 5:30 in the morning. I am trying to still figure out that time frame myself, because I will get busy with things early on, or get distracted by my work very early on, you know, because things have to get done and people have to be replied to and clients need to be taken care of. But by the time I do realize I haven't read today, you know, what I've been wanting to do, or, you know, fulfilling this habit that I've set for myself, this goal, it'll be the end of the day, and 30 minutes feels like a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels like, oh, I'm going to fall asleep after 10. Yeah. So what I've learned, though, is that I don't have to do it all at once. Mm-hmm. It would be nice, but I've realized I can do maybe 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening and still reach that, you know, type of goal. So what do you do to make sure that you can get it in? Do you have a certain time you like to read, or do you just fit it in where you can?
Yeah, you know, nowadays I just try to fit it in whenever and wherever I can. This advice of waking up earlier to like set your day, it just keeps coming up. I hear it so often lately, and it's usually that it's reading, it's meditation, and it's exercise, right? And I feel that for me personally, I don't function very well so early in the morning. So, but meditation and exercise would work great for me early in the morning. Okay. But reading probably doesn't, not until maybe like 6:30, 7. But one way I try to find time and make more time to read, or at least try to do it more frequently, is to have books at the ready in the areas where I spend a lot of time, or where I have an opportunity to just squeeze in a few minutes of reading. For example, I have some, like in the morning is when I like really enjoy reading news and maybe some magazines. So I have some magazines on my kitchen counter next to my coffee machine that remind me to read instead of checking my phone as I make coffee or have breakfast or after lunch. And like a good fiction book on my bedside table reminds me to put my phone away and read for 30 minutes maybe before bedtime. And on my desk in my office, I would put like a nonfiction book, maybe some professional reading or something that has to do with the language, one of the languages that I'm working with. And it reminds me to take a short break from my computer and just from work in general.
That's a good point, actually, because, you know, they say you should take visual breaks from the screen.
Yes.
And that would be a great way to continue working but not be staring at the screen the whole day.
Because
I find that at the end of the day, that's part of the problem for me, is that my eyes are so tired.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
It's important. I remember my eye doctor at one point mentioned that, you know, it is important to do, there's even eye exercises, you know, you can do, but just because somehow you're like your eye functions in a different way when you're looking at a screen versus even just paper. And so the paper book next to you on your desk would even be a great break from working with a computer. I also learned something from a translator colleague of ours, Eve Bode, who recently shared on her Twitter account that she has a journal where she writes down all the books that she read. And I love this idea, especially because it reminded me of what my grandmother did. She kept a journal of the books she read and the movies she watched. And at that time, I thought that was odd. Like, is her memory so bad or whatever? But now I totally get it. Following Eve's advice, I started my own book journal, and it's so satisfying making a new entry there each time. So I really liked that advice and how it's working out for me.
See, for me, it would be so that I wouldn't read the same thing twice. because I think I would forget, especially with novels. I think there was one or two times in the past couple of years that I picked up a novel and I started to go, this is really familiar. And then I realized, oh, I've read this one. I don't know why it's still on my shelf. Yeah, that's great.
I can usually tell when I pick up a book. I can usually tell that I've read it. But if someone mentioned the title to me, sometimes my memory fails me and I would be like, oh, I don't know if I read it or not. But once I see it.
For me, it's when it's the same author who's written a whole series of books, like not a trilogy or anything, but like like a mystery novels.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll have them on my shelf and I'll have read one, but not the other.
I get it. Yeah. But I read an excellent article recently, and if I can, I'll find a link and we'll add it to our show notes if it's available online. And that article suggested tracking your progress as you read. And I agree, just using that journal technique that Eve shared, it really helps. Another thing that is mentioned often is becoming a part of a book club. It can be very motivating to have a deadline for a particular book and know that you can share your impression and thoughts with others. And I must say, I like this idea. I was a part of a book club briefly last year, but I really enjoyed it. For some reason, it fell apart, but I kind of miss it. So perhaps we need to form a translator's book club that can meet virtually.
Oh, I love that idea. Yes, let's do that. You know, I was a part of a book club back when we lived in Columbus, Ohio, and it was so much fun. And I miss that book club a lot, but it also sort of petered out because I think to have a solid and successful book club, everybody has to agree to be very dedicated because otherwise you have people showing up. Now, this one was in person, but you have people showing up who haven't read the book.
Yeah.
And so if you've got five people and only two have read the book, it's a little bit strange to try to meet about a book that three of the people didn't read.
Yeah.
And then it becomes that it's not even about the book anymore, which is fine. It's a great social thing to do. But if everybody is not doing the same reading and people feel like they've put in the time and others are not, there can be some resentful feelings there. But I love the idea of a translator's book club. Yes, let's do that.
We should make this happen.
Yes. The next book club, Smart Habits for Translators book club. Yeah. So I love those ideas. That's great. Like I said earlier, I have a Kindle, which is the Amazon version of a digital reader. And I had an old one. Oh my gosh, it was so old. I think it finally stopped turning on. But the nice thing about Kindle is that, I mean, I really love the library system. At least in the United States, I feel like the library system is still very good and it's quite user-friendly. But even with an e-reader, you can use a library. And a lot of times they have digital versions of books that you can get and download to your digital reader. So if you don't want to buy books for the digital reader, because they can add up very quickly.
Yeah.
And you can't then just pass it off to somebody like, say, hey, I read this book. It was great. Here, you know, if you want to read it. You can't do that with the digital version. So the library is a great option for that. But I'm really trying to get more into the habit of carrying it with me more often because I purposely got one of the smaller ones called the Paperwhite that I can read outside because there's no glare on the screen. It looks more like paper. And also just because, you know, it's smaller so I can carry it just about anywhere. So I have a collection of books on my Kindle and I have a collection of books on my nightstand and it's one of those things I love to read and I really need to try to get back into making it a regular habit, but I'm going to try to stick to what I said earlier about remembering that I'm doing it not just for me, but for work as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So another great plan is to keep a list of books or articles on your phone that you'd like to read. I do this, and I know that for me, when I have a place to store the titles, I'm more likely to choose from that list when I want something fresh to read. Just that habit of keeping this type of a list makes me excited to start a new book because I don't have to think, oh, let's, you know, although there is some fun in that, I have to say, going to the bookstore and choosing a new book, there is something about that that's really special. But if I have my list, then I can go and I can pick up several that are on my list and kind of sift through them and decide which one I want to purchase to read next. And so that's a habit that I have that when people tell me about a book or I hear about a book or read a review, then I'll put it on my phone, on my list on my phone to keep it so that when I do happen to go to the bookstore or something, I can check it out.
Yeah, I love it. That's a great habit. I use the Notes app on my phone to keep a simple list of books I want to read next. And so whenever someone recommends me a book, I write the title down there. But I also have an Amazon wish list full of books that I'm interested in. I really need to organize this better so it's synchronized. They only have one list instead of two. But this summer I tried the Scribd, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, Scribd subscription that allows you to read books and articles both on your computer and on your phone, but also listen to audiobooks. Mm-hmm. I really liked it because it allows you to create different lists, and I like that it covers both audio resources and ebooks and articles. There are quite a bit of professional articles there as well.
So that's Scribd, S-C-R-I-B-D, right?
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. I haven't used that. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I really like that it's all at once, because I keep hearing about Audible, but then I'm like, well, it's not just the audiobooks, you know, like the other part as well. Yeah. And we can't all have multiple subscriptions for everything.
Well, with audiobooks too, they're lovely. I listen to some audiobooks as well, especially when it's a larger book that I know that I'll never get through.
Yeah.
Or if the author is actually reading the book and I really want to hear it from them, sometimes I'll buy an audiobook. But there's something about being a translator that an audiobook just doesn't give the same benefit, I think. It is nice to not have to, you know, read when you've been reading all day. Yes, of course, there's a benefit there for audiobooks, but I don't know that listening to an audiobook can give you the same benefits in your work that reading hard copy or digitally will do.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Definitely. So I guess that another thing that could be useful is to schedule time to read in your calendar, like, you know, some of us do, when it comes to scheduling time for exercise or other healthy habits. But then I keep thinking, like, I don't do it consistently. And when I tried, I just failed miserably, because I feel like it maybe takes the magic away. Like, you know, your phone rings or you get this alarm and you go, oh, it's time to read, and you're in the middle of something else. Or you just don't feel like doing it at a time. So what do you think?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. I am all for scheduling things, because I think that when it's on our schedule that we tend to stick to it, usually. But it's like you said, if you schedule it and you're already working on something, it's hard to then say, let me stop this now because it's time to read. I think for me, I would schedule it still, but I would put it either at the beginning of my day or the end of the day, or when there's a clear end to something before the start of something else, if that makes sense. Yeah. So maybe as a transition of sorts. Because, you know, with anything, things can run over time from maybe a meeting or a task took longer than you thought, and then you lose your reading time, and then you feel bad about yourself for something that you couldn't help.
Yes.
So I think doing it at the beginning of the day or the end of the day is one of those really nice ways of maybe scheduling it in. I don't know. I think I have done that before, but I did it as part of a bigger routine. It was a morning routine. So I'll have to see. I'll have to try that again. So something else that I found that makes it easier to form a better reading habit is to choose material that fits the time of day you're reading, which I said earlier. If you're someone who feels like your mind is sharp in the morning, I do personally, maybe reading nonfiction in the morning is the best for you. And then if you are anything like me and you're tired at the end of the day, like most of us, I think, after working and taking care of family and things like that, and, you know, taking care of your home or whatever, I think that maybe reading some best-selling fiction or something like that, something lighter, would be helpful for a lot of people. I know that some people like to switch back and forth between reading one fiction book then one nonfiction book. Do you have preferences like that that help you form your reading habits or that keep you on track with your reading goals?
Yeah, I definitely do. I'm one of those people, as you are, I'm sure. I have several books going at the same time. And I enjoy reading nonfiction in the morning and kind of in the earlier part of the day. And that's also where I keep, in the morning, I'm usually in the kitchen, you know, having breakfast or getting my kids ready for school. And that's where I would keep my nonfiction. They're usually magazines, something shorter, or maybe some newspaper articles or even news online. And then throughout the day, like on my desk, I have usually a nonfiction or some professional literature next to me. But I definitely prefer switching to nonfiction in the evening just because I'm tired, I'm kind of done, and I don't want to think too much. I just want to enjoy something, you know. Mm-hmm. What about taking notes as you read? I have been raised with the thought that books are something almost sacred and you should never ever write in them or damage them in any way. So I was surprised later on to see people take notes on the book pages or highlight certain parts. I do, however, see benefits of doing that, and I certainly find it useful when I'm reading a magazine article or when I was studying, when I'd read a textbook, I would highlight and take notes in the textbook. But I just can't get around doing that in other books. And I just wonder if I should just get over my prejudice and start doing that with all the books I read, as long as they belong to me, or if I should keep a notebook for those times when I come across a phrase or a sentence that I want to remember. What about you? Do you take
notes? That's interesting. I do a little bit of both. I don't write in books. I was raised the same way. Mm-hmm. I don't think that writing in your book is maybe, at least for me, it's also not that helpful. If I'm not studying it like a textbook, mm-hmm. and I don't think I even used to write in textbooks, but I won't look back at it if it's mm-hmm. written that way. But right. What is interesting is that with the e-readers, like the Kindle, and I think there's another one called a Nook?
Yes.
The one that Barnes and Noble, yeah. Nook, there are many of them probably. You can take notes in the app, which mm-hmm. is nice. You can highlight things, you can make a note. But, you know, again, I'm not the type of person that's going to go back through the book and look at those.
Yeah.
So I think for me it would have to be something separate, like a notebook or I feel like you should do something with your Post-it notes again. I do mark things with Post-it notes, though. I do mark pages with Post-it notes sometimes just to remember it, especially if I'm going to use that content soon for something, maybe something I'm teaching. I'll mark it with a Post-it note and put a little note on the Post-it. That way I can just take it out.
Yeah.
But I usually, if it's like a fiction book, I will read it and often give it to somebody or donate it later, depending mm-hmm. on if it's not something I think I need to keep. I like to pass on books, and so I won't write in them, that's for sure. But I do dog-ear the pages every once in a while, like, you know, marking a page to go back to. And then I will go back to it before I take it off my shelf for good. So, yeah, that's interesting. That's funny. I didn't think about that. And we can't forget about how important it is to form a regular habit of reading in our second language as translators. Yeah. There are some great resources for this. We mentioned Eve earlier, but Eve Baudu wrote a book on this. Maintaining Your Second Language, Practical and Productive Strategies for Translators, Teachers, Interpreters, and Other Language Lovers. And in her book, she gives some wonderful strategies for how to keep up with the habit of, keeping up with your second language and making it doable and fun. So let's link to that book in the show notes for everybody who's interested.
Definitely. It's a great book.
Yeah. I haven't read it yet. I just got it. I'm going to read it now. That's what I was going to mention later today that I'm going to read that. So, but like I said, I also try to read the news in my working languages. So I translate from Portuguese and Spanish to English. So I try to read something current in the news. And, you know, I found that that's very helpful for also learning new terms that may becoming more common. Because, you know, they add words to dictionaries every year. And sometimes, even now, words in English, I'll hear them and say, what is that? What does that mean? And somebody will tell me, oh, that's just become a word. Everybody's using it to mean this. And I have no idea what they're talking about. But with reading in the news or reading something current online every day in your working languages, I think that that's a really good habit to try to have.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. It's, language changes all the time. Terminology, but even just usage style. And I don't think I'd be a good translator if I didn't maintain my working languages the same way as you. So I read news, books, and magazines both in Russian and in English, and try to listen to as many podcasts in both languages as well, because I feel that certain styles and maybe topics especially because I don't always have time to read. And there's this time during the day where, for example, if I'm picking up my kids or going to an appointment and I have time, just long time in my car, I feel like I can make good use of it by listening to a podcast. And usually I listen to them in one of my languages.
I haven't done that yet. I should try that.
Oh, yeah, look for that. There's quite a lot now in so many languages.
Okay.
And having a trilingual family, because in my family, we always speak English, French, and Russian at home. And living in the U.S., I often find that it's easy for me to just look for something online in English, like a recipe or, say, a question related to parenting or something. Mm-hmm. And I try to remind myself to do that in Russian, too, just as an additional way of maintaining my native language. You
know, that is a great idea.
A lot of resources online in all the languages.
Wow, I hadn't thought about that. That's a great idea. We get so used to looking things up in the language wherever we live. And,
right.
Oh, I'll try that too.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, you know, listening to news and podcasts in both of my working languages has really become a habit for me over the years here in the U.S. As soon as I drop off my kids at school, I turn their music off and I turn my podcast on and I listen to it all the way home. You know, even 15 to 20 minutes a day makes a difference.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Those things add up. So I like that idea. I'm going to have to try it. Another great thing you can do to make a new or renewed habit of reading is to stick to something to make it fun. So I read a book recently called The Enchanted Hour, The Miraculous Power of Reading Aloud in the Age of Distraction. And this is such an interesting book. It caught my eye in the bookstore. And the book is about how reading out loud makes everybody happier. They feel more connected to one another, and it improves our language skills as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about reading out loud to your kids, you know, their books, but the book does talk about that. But it also talks about, you know, how adults should continue to read out loud, even, you know, whether to each other or just to themselves. And I love this idea because it makes complete sense to me that this would be a smart habit to pick up, especially because continuing to practice your second or third language verbally is really important as well. And I remember my husband speaks amazing English. He's from Brazil, but his English is almost without an accent. It's so good. And one of the ways that he always told me that he studied when he was growing up was by reading out loud to himself.
Wow.
And at first I thought that was kind of funny, but then I realized this is perfectly good. I mean, it's very important to do that, and you can really practice very well that way. So what are your thoughts on that, on reading out loud?
I love this idea, and it also makes me want to read this book you mentioned too. So I'll add that to my list. And I definitely notice the difference when I read books aloud to my kids, or even read a passage from an article to my husband or a friend. It's almost a different experience. It's not just like a quiet monologue in your head when you're reading to yourself, but like an engaging experience that you're sharing with others. It also like promotes conversation. Mm-hmm. And I tend to remember the content much better too when I read it aloud. So I love this
idea.
Oh,
that's interesting. Yeah.
What about this misconception that even I have, that you must finish the book once you started it and you cannot just stop it? I must say it's a relief to give myself that permission once I start a book and I'm not feeling that it's a good fit, but I'm often afraid that I'm going to miss something, you know, I'm going to miss out on something important. So I keep going and it just takes me so long. What about you? Do you have any advice to give on this?
I don't have that misconception. I don't finish a book if I don't like it from the first, you know, 20 to 30 pages.
Yeah.
It's very, very rare that if I am not getting into a book within 30 pages or so, then I will just not read it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've always been that way. I think partially for two reasons, you know, at least it's probably similar in Russia, but growing up in the United States, when you're going through different grades in school, there are different books that are required for that level or age. And I remember having to read books that were assigned, of course, and there were some that I loved and some that it was like awful to try to get through the book.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was from that or what, but even now, if there is a book that I just can't get into it, I will not read it. But I will feel guilty about not having finished it. There is that, but it's not enough guilt to make me do it.
No, right.
Because I feel like we don't we don't have a lot of time, mm-hmm. you know, to dedicate to something that, first of all, it's if we don't feel like it's benefiting us, but also if we're just not really into it, I don't think that we should spend our time that way. So maybe that's what you tell yourself next time. Say, what am I giving up by putting time into this book that I don't really care about?
Exactly. Yeah. I need to give myself that permission to just mm-hmm. drop it and move on. There's so many other books I need to read.
Yeah. There's so many other things.
Yeah. So what we talked about today, just to recap, some of the habits and tips we mentioned that are worth trying, setting clear goals and expectations and answering some questions like, why do you want to read more? What do you hope to get out of the content you read? How much time can you feasibly dedicate to reading, and when can you make more time in your day? Also finding the topic and format that best fits your schedule, tracking your progress, and different ways of making this an engaging experience by journaling, reading aloud, or becoming part of a book club, or even creating your own, and having a concise list of books and articles that you want to read.
Yes, exactly. We hope that this episode has given you some new strategies for creating a better habit of reading more when you're not working. And if you happen to try any of these habits, or if you have some smart habits to share with us on this topic, please let us know. Send us an email at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com or leave a comment on our website under the show notes for this episode.
And now it's time for one of our special segments. The one we're doing today is Book Nook, where we share our latest reads. So what are you reading right now, Madalena?
So I mentioned this book earlier. I'm actually reading Eve's book. I joked with Eve before the American Translators Association conference, because at that conference they had the, it used to be called a book splash, but now I think they're calling it the book fair maybe or something, mm-hmm. where other translators or interpreters, members of the association who've written a book, can have a table there and show their book and sell it there as well. And I couldn't believe I hadn't read Eve's book yet. And I was talking to her about it, and she is like me and you. We have children who were raising to speak more than one language, and she and I have always had a conversation on and off about you know, raising bilingual children and so forth. And mm-hmm. so I was talking to her and I said, I cannot believe I have not read your book. So I bought the book from her at the conference this year in Palm Springs. So it's Eve Baudu's book, Maintaining Your Second Language, Practical and Productive Strategies for Translators, Teachers, Interpreters, and Other Language Lovers.
Oh, I love this book. Yeah. And it's timeless. Like, there's so many great tips and advice that's really, you know, going to apply to every stage of your life, whether you have kids or not. And mm-hmm. for raising kids, there's a lot of great tips there too. The book I am enjoying right now is called Do It Tomorrow and Other Secrets of Time Management, and was written by Mark Forster. It's a quick read. It's really a small book, and it's about using your time efficiently, prioritizing, and setting realistic deadlines. It's mm-hmm. really about making a realistic to-do list for every day, a to-do list that doesn't overwhelm you and leave you feeling guilty at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And what I love is that it's full of not only quick tips, but also exercises and questionnaires and different scenarios to practice the things that you've learned. It's this really hands-on approach that I appreciate. I just love it when an author not just like dumps a truckload of great advice on you, but also helps you get started in implementing that advice.
Yeah, that's great. I haven't heard of that one. I'll have to check it out. Okay, so that's it for this week's episode. We have created a reading log that we'd like to share with you. We will share it with those who are on our email list. So if you're not on our email list yet, you can sign up for that at smarthabitsfortranslators.com. We'll be mailing out the reading log on November the 26th. So only to our email subscribers. If you'd like that, please sign up. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to it. Join us again on December 3rd when we'll share some smart habits related to fitting in exercise when you have a busy routine.
Talk to you then.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered a simple strategy that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover on this podcast, please record a quick voice message and email it to us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd love it if you would leave us a review and please share the podcast with other translators you know.